your mean time to WTF for a security alert is more than a minute, it's time to look at Lacework. Lacework will help you get your security act together for everything from compliant service configurations to container app relationships, all without the need for PhDs in AWS to write the rules. If you're building a secure business on AWS with compliance requirements, you don't really have time to choose between antivirus or firewall companies to help you secure your stack. That's why Lacework is built from the ground up for the cloud. Low effort, high visibility and detection. To learn more, visit lacework.com. Last week, analyst and friend to all the industry, RedMonk, specifically James Governor, wrote a blog post detailing Spotify's use of Backstage, an internal developer portal to their cloud infrastructure, and more. Despite being complimentary enough toward the Duckbill Group in general and me personally to make my mother blush, I felt like it was advising a wrong direction approach. Earlier this week, a protocol article entitled "Why Spotify Loves Being Locked into Google Cloud" came out, and it became increasingly clear I needed to articulate my viewpoint in more depth than a Twitter rant would lend itself to. So, what is Backstage? Backstage self-describes as an open platform for building developer portals. In other words, it provides a company-specific way of implementing controls around cloud infrastructure. And it's also plugin powered to support new functionality. It came out of Spotify itself and has been open source for ages. In fact, it's an on-ramp to building self-aware internal tooling that enables engineers to get ready-to-go architectures that meet compliance, regulatory, and engineering requirements for working with a cloud vendor and in a pre-approved way. In the ideal case, they're not just rolling out infrastructure as a service tooling, they're rolling out things that are higher up the stack than that. Beyond low-level primitives such as containers, load balancers, and other basic components, it also starts passing out things much higher up the stack. Here's Nginx with our default config. Here's the blessed version of our Ruby on Rails stack that powers the application. Here's the CloudFront configuration that makes all that stuff work from the larger internet. If this sounds familiar to folks deep in the AWS weeds, it may be because a first-party offering called AWS Proton appears to be taking tentative steps in this direction. Or it might be because of Yelp's Pasta, which was a similar, much-touted, then quietly smothered tool that did much the same thing in a highly opinionated way. Developer portals can be used to enforce standardization, to enable multi-cloud use cases, which I have, of course, ranted about previously, and to increase visibility into the various hordes of microservices that are apparently how software gets built these days. I'm of the opinion that this is the wrong direction. As a data point, Backstage is a project that I've never once seen deployed anywhere in the wild. So, what's wrong with developer portals? There are a few issues with building in-house tooling to wrangle cloud services. The first and most selfish of them is that it robs a company's engineers of an opportunity to develop reusable skills. If you become an expert in wrangling the internal developer portal that your employer has built, that's not likely to serve you super well at basically any other company on the planet. Admittedly, it makes it harder for me to quit my job isn't the most compelling reason an engineer can take to their management in order to advocate against such a thing. So let's explore a couple more. So secondly, developer portals inherently lag the underlying services capabilities. If AWS, GCP, or whomever enhances a service, it's up to the developer portal's maintainer to update and reflect the change, assuming they're reading last week in AWS so they can catch it in the first place. Otherwise, the portal's going to rely overly much on its plugin-driven model, which feels like a polite way of saying, pull request welcome, which is in turn a polite way of telling people to screw off and build it themselves. Now, that might be okay if you're viewing developer portals purely through the lens of IaaS provisioning of containers, VMs, storage, and load balancers, but it begins to look very odd when you're tying it into Cloudflare domains, PagerDuty alerting, and higher-level differentiated offerings, like last week's Nimble Studio release as an example. This episode is sponsored by ExtraHop. ExtraHop provides threat detection and response for the enterprise, not the starship. On-prem security doesn't translate well to cloud or multi-cloud environments, and that's not even counting IoT. ExtraHop automatically discovers everything inside the perimeter, including your cloud workloads and IoT devices, detects these threats up to 35% faster, and helps you act immediately. Ask for a free trial of detection and response for AWS today at extrahop.com/trial. The third failure mode pops up when you're viewing developer portals through the lens of just IaaS. They distill down to basically Kubernetes without the upsides. Wait, Kubernetes has upsides? Sounds like something you'd expect me to start arguing with. And yes, it absolutely does. It's broadly deployed. You can find a whole bunch of folks to run it for you. And just because it looks super strange to the underlying cloud provider as a monolithic application with very odd behavior patterns doesn't mean that it's completely without merit. Fundamentally, I think that developer portals are what every SRE has been trying to build since the dawn of time, an internal to their company version of Heroku. Backstage has more potential than most attempts, thanks to being actively developed at Spotify and under the purview of the CNCF, but I still have yet to see it anywhere other than Spotify. Now, let's just be clear here that I'm not being misunderstood. Most of you aren't spending north of $150 million a year on cloud infrastructure or trying to wrangle over 500 engineering teams like Spotify is quoted as having in James's piece. At their scale, idiosyncrasies like Backstage sometimes start to make an awful lot of sense. They're probably not wrong for Spotify's environment, context, or constraints, but they are not you and you are not them. Viewing a Backstage rollout through the lens of this is something we should explore doing is almost certainly the wrong move for most of the people listening to this. So tread carefully. While the concert may look glorious on the big screen, you don't always know what's been going on backstage.
This has been a HumblePod production.
Stay humble.